I hollered for the devil 27 years. God save me, and I'm going to holler for Jesus till he takes me home. Amen. If you never have hollered, you ought to get out there and holler in the backyard every once in a while. Just three cheers for Jesus. It'll loosen you up. Amen. Good. I'm kind of like the elderly black lady down south. The preacher went visiting. He knocked on her door, and she came to the door, and he said, Annie, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. He said, you love this book? She said, yes, I do. I believe it's God's word. And he said, I want to ask you some doctrinal questions. Said, Annie, are you pre or post or amillennial? She said, well, I don't know. Said, I hadn't got that far along yet. Said, I love the book, but I just can't answer either of those. And he said, well, maybe you could answer if I put it this way. What do you think about the millennial reign? She said, let her reign. Amen. Well, that's about the way I am tonight. Praise God, the Lord's good and wonderful and kind and gracious. Little old town yonder in Mississippi, I got to tell this. I noticed Ms. Linville's here tonight. Praise the Lord. I love the husband and the wife and the children. And she's an old Mississippi puddle jumper. Amen. And she'll understand. I tell something about Mississippi. Down there in one of those little cotton towns, one Saturday afternoon, it is warm weather. And there's an old man sitting there in that little old town, sitting on the side of the street, sitting on an apple barrel out there, and chewing tobacco and spitting across the street out there. You know, down there they have tobacco chewing and see who spits the furthest. And he is sitting there and spitting across the street, and about that time a set of Greyhound bus drove up there. And the door swung open, and a young man swung out there right in front of him and said, we come to sing or to fight. He said, get out, I'm ready, amen. Well, I feel that way tonight. The Lord's good, wonderful, and kind, and gracious, and I've had a good time this week. I sure have. I've eaten plenty, and I know definitely now for sure that we've had two meals that is cooked by men. The men cooked. They said they did. And it was good and delicious, amen. And I enjoyed every bite of it. Now, if I can get by tonight and tomorrow night and Saturday morning without having to eat his cooking, I'll tell you, I'll just be overjoyed, amen. Yes, sir. Well, the meeting's coming to a close now. Tomorrow night and tonight and tomorrow night, if you don't do something these two nights, you're going to get left out. But I feel like it's going to be a little bit different tonight. I just do. I feel a cool breeze coming in from a far country, and I believe that people going to move tonight, that God would have them to move. Now, Saturday morning at 10 or 10:30, I'm going to do something the devil never has done. I'm going to leave Ohio, amen. And I said, I want you to come and see me. Amen. I want you to come south, amen. Now, some of you couldn't help but be born up north. You couldn't help that. But God will show you where to live if you just let him, amen. You come see me. Several asked me tonight where I lived at, and I told them. And if you come to see me and you don't stop there, you're going to get your feet wet. Now, you'll just walk right out into the water down there, and I want you to come. The water's fine, amen. Now, the preacher tells me that he's going to be down that way in the month of May, and I'm grateful for it and want you to come. Brother Linville said he is going to get down there pretty soon. I'm grateful to have every one of you, and then the rest of you has promised me that you're going to come one of these times, and better watch what you say now, because the Bible said all liars have their part in the lake of fire. Amen. And so I want you to come now for a little while tonight. I'll not keep you long. You know, I'm not too long. Now, a lot of people think I am, but I'm not too long. I don't know that much about the Bible. Amen. And I'm kind of, sometimes I do preach a little bit long in my church every once in a while just to show them that I can. Some of them think that if you keep them 5 after 12, it's unpardonable sin down there. You know, we had the office wreck. We had one of the serious wrecks there on our parking lot. Than they had on the highway out there. I kept them about 5 or 10 minutes after 12, and they was all trying to get down to the restaurant at the same time. I said, yeah, we just demolished the car out there. Amen.
They said this preacher come for a trial sermon, and he preached 15 minutes for the trial sermon that morning, and they liked him real well. I mean, they liked him fine. And they said, well, won't you preach again tonight? And we want to hear you. And he stood that night, and he preached about 10 minutes. And boy, they really liked him. The deacons got together, and they said, boy, that's the one we want. He just preached 15 minutes this morning and 10 minutes tonight, and let's call him. So the voting called on him and told him that he would could begin next Sunday. So he came the next Sunday morning, all excited to start his pastorate there, and he began to feel in his pockets, and lo and behold, he left his teeth at home. And his wife came forward and said, well, just use mine. And he put her teeth in his mouth and preached out in 45 minutes. Amen. You know, you can have a good time in church.
Amen.
Amen. You Amen. Sure can. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They set up there like a swallowed a walking stick. Amen. And they said, disgruntled looking. If I ever find one of these old disgruntled persons sitting out there mad with God, mad with the church, and mad with the preacher, and if I never spot them, I never look that way again. Amen. That's right. And somebody said there's a dead spot in every church, and I believed it for a long time, but I haven't found one here so far, and I pray I don't find one tonight. Amen. All righty. For a little while, take your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23, the subject in the way of a question, what's happened to the home? What happened to the home? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. When I cease to hear the pages turn, I'll know that you have arrived. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain, although my house be not so with God. Would you mark that? Although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. May we bow our heads for prayer, Father. Thank you, precious Lord, for these words tonight. I pray that you'll take this message that thou hast laid upon my heart and use it for thine own glory, for I ask it in Jesus' name and just for your sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now, my beloved, I saw a bumper sticker a few days ago traveling down the highway, and it said these words, help fight inflation, buy a home. I've never seen that before. That was a new bumper sticker. And I began to think about it, and I began to tell a real estate man about it. And he said, well, preacher, I'll tell you one of the strangest things that ever happened in my selling of homes. He said that he knocked on a door, and a young lady came to the door, and he said to her, I want to sell you a home. And said, I understand that you rent this home, and I want to sell you a home. And she said these words, me, buy a home? And he said, yes, you're the one I'm talking to. Wouldn't you like to buy a home? She said, why buy a home? I was born in a hospital, educated in college, dated in an automobile, married in a church, spent my mornings at the golf course, spent my afternoons at the bridge table, spent my evenings at the movies, eat out of tin cans and paper bags. When I die, I'll be buried in the cemetery, me by home. I'll tell you, my beloved, when that man told me that, I said, there is a multitude of people across the country that have the same attitude. I'll tell you, there's multiplied people across the nation that never intend to buy a home. They never intend to establish a home. And when I go across the country and I see these kind of people, I've learned a great lesson, my dear friends. The devil has inserted this in man. Used to, in the old days, we that from the old school, when we got married, that was our intention, to buy a little frame dwelling somewhere and establish a home for the glory of Jesus Christ, where we could live together and where we could have our own families together. It was God, my dear friends, that intended for man to have three homes. The first home that God intended for you to have is a home of residence, where you can live together, where you can be with your family, where you can sit down with them and eat together and be together. God intended for you to have a home of residence. He intended for you to establish a home while he left you here in this world. The second home that God intended for man to have is a church home, where you can get together and assemble and worship together and sing together and pray together. Then the third home that God intended for man to have is a home in heaven yonder. I'll tell you, it was God that established the first home. It's the devil that's going across this country and tearing up the homes, and this nation will never rise any higher than the home. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, he loved the home. He preached in homes. He taught in homes. He healed in homes. He fellowshipped in homes. He ate in homes. I'll tell you, my dear friends, he put emphasis upon the home here in the Bible. I'll tell you, the greatest need that we have in this hour is not more jobs. It's a need, but that's not the greatest need. Somebody said the greatest need was lower taxes, and we need lower taxes, but that's not the greatest need in this land. Somebody said that we needed more jobs, and on you go. But I'll tell you, the greatest need in this world tonight is some Christian daddies and Christian mothers establishing a Christian home here in this whole world. The devil comes along and does everything that he can to destroy. Now, my beloved, I'm going to show you some things tonight about what's happening to the home. Somebody said the other day that marriage is on the way out. There are fewer marriage license sold today than ever before. One man said the other night, he said he was real smart, and after I heard him talk, he said, "Don't you think so?" I said, "Yes, I think you are smart, but add another word to it, add Eric to it, amen. A smart Eric." He said that he would to God that marriage license was like driver's license, ran out every 2 years. Well, I'll tell you, shame on a fellow like that. Shame on a fellow like that. And the home is in a critical condition. There's not the kind of love that used to be in the home. Now, they go around now saying don't have over one or two children. You know, we used to have wall-to-wall children. Amen. I'll tell you, the more the merrier. Somebody said the cheaper by the dozens. But you talk to young women now about children. They'll frown. They'll make the ugly old face. You ever say, "I wish I had a camera and snap their picture," when you talk about children. I'm glad I came out of a large family. I'm glad, praise God, I was raised in a large family. I'm glad that Jesus Christ was recognized there in that old home place. Now, I just buried my mother last year, and of all the ones that we buried, I'll tell you, it was sad in my heart that when we put the body of my precious old mother beneath the sod, I'll tell you, it tore my heart asunder. I thought of things that I'd never thought before. When I was a little two-headed boy, she said, "Leroy, there's a God in heaven." I didn't know where she got it, but she got it out of the book of Daniel. There is a God in heaven, amen. I'm glad, and God wants us to have a home established here in this world that he can bless it real good, amen. Where we can have a little bit of heaven down here, where we can go to heaven up yonder in, amen. I'll tell you, you don't see many that wants a home in this day.
Now, the American family has more today than they ever had before. They have buttons for this. They have switches for that. They have switches for everything but the children, amen. Now, I'll tell you, I was raised in an old-fashioned home. I'll tell you, my mother was patriotic. She believed in the American flag. I'll tell you, there's not a woman in the world that believed in the American flag any more than my mother. We could do wrong, and I'll tell you, she got out a switch, and we saw the stars, and we as I'll tell you, we as red, white, and blue, amen. When she got through, and you're talking about the stars, you could see them out there. Then one day, I told my brother, I said, I'd show you, I learned something. I said, we've been getting whipping every day. Mama said she whipped us because she loved us. I never could understand that, and I got to thinking, she must love me more than she does the rest of them, because I got more whippings than the rest of them. But I learned one day, I told my brother, I said, next time we get into it, and she starts whipping, get as close to her as you can, amen. She won't hit you so hard. And it works. Let me pass it on to you boys and girls to get a whipping. Get just as close to them as you can. You get way out there, I'll tell you, they lay on the stripes then, amen. You'll say, Brother Wright, why tell that? Get just as close to God as you can, amen. He can't whip you half as hard. You get way out under. You get way out in a hog pen out under, and God will lay some stripes on you. I visit every day. I like to visit. And when I get back on Sunday morning, I said I was glad to be in your house last week, and I saw the devil's track. Yeah, I see where the devil is visiting homes, amen. You see he's been there. There's something wrong, amen. That's what I want to talk about. What's happening to the home in this day. The old-fashioned home, and I remember it well, and I love it. When we placed the body of my mother beneath the sod, I went out and cemetery's right in front of where I was born and raised. And thank God I didn't get reared, amen. I got raised, hallelujah. I'm tickled to death over it. And I went out there, and I told my brothers, I said, now if you want anything out of the old home place, if you want anything in memory of Mama, I want you to go in and get it now, because I'm going to get rid of everything that she had. And the home will be disposed of and all, and be torn down and burned down or whatever they're going to do with it. And I went in there and looked around. And I got a few things that I'll remember Mama about, so did they. And the rest of it was disposed of. Now, I'll tell you, when this man came in to get the furniture and we loaded the trunk, and all of it was antique, I'll tell you. And somebody said that, what is antique furniture? It's any furniture paid for, amen. And we went in the house there and went to close the door. And I told this man, I said, before I go, I want to go back in the living room, and I want to kneel before the old fireplace there. I want to have a word of prayer. That was where I first heard about God. That's the first that I can remember when I sat around the fireplace, and Mama would tell us there was a God in heaven. I knelt upon my knees there, and I said, thank you, Lord, for letting me be raised in a Christian home where my mama believed in God with all of her heart. I'll tell you, you ought to be thankful if you have a Christian home. If you have a Christian mother and a Christian daddy, you ought to be tickled to death over it tonight. Now, in this message, I want to show you some reasons that they're having all of these problems that you see in this world. Before we get into the message, let us look at the text again. I just want you to get full of the text. And I want to read it again for emphasis, because I believe now when I read it, you're going to see more about what it's about. Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and it shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. I'll tell you, my dear friends, the way that David lived, God could not cause his house to prosper. Now that's what that's about, and I want to get into it tonight. Now, my beloved, David's house did not meet the description that God described in those preceding verses. Note verse 1 again. Now these be the last words of David. And he is described right here in verse 1. There is a description of this man David. He was a son of Jesse, the Bible said. Not only was he a son of Jesse, but the Bible said he was a man who was raised up on high, meaning that he was made king. And then the Bible said he was anointed by the God of Jacob. And then the Bible calls him the sweet psalmist of Israel. I'll tell you, there is the description of this man. Four things said about him. Four great things said about him. Yet his family was not right with God. I'll tell you, of all the things that God said about him, these four things that God named about him was great, but his house wasn't in order, amen. I'll tell you, my beloved, in verse 5, he said, although my house be not so with God, it was one time, until sin came. Amen. It was one time, until sin came. Man. Some of you out there tonight, your house might have been a prospering and getting along fine until you messed it up. Amen. I know a man yonder in Pascagoula. I know him personally. And he has had five wives. He has to pay each one of them $35 every Friday. Now, if you're keeping up, that's a right smart amount. Amen. 35, he told me to be there on Friday evening at 3 o'clock. He said, I want you to see them. He said, they look like they're from Hollywood. I said, you ought to got you one of those old corn-fed kind, amen. Yes, sir, they'll stay.
Amen.
Amen. $35, you know how long he's got to pay that? 18 years. 18 years. And you know, I was talking with him about it, and he's not mad. No, he's not mad. He's not throwing off on God. He's not throwing off on anybody. He said, God didn't do that, and you didn't do that. My neighbor didn't do that. I did it. He said, I'm the one that messed it up, amen. And he really leans on that verse of scripture. You reap what you sow. I'll tell you, and it's so. It's so. Now, my beloved, he could have had a home. He could have had a home. I'm going to show you how he could have had one tonight if he wanted to. Now, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. Now, I like that. You look in verses 2 and 3, and you'll see the Trinity there. You'll see God, and you'll see the rock, that's Jesus, and you'll see the Spirit, amen. That's the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity, amen. Now, the word that Trinity is not found in the Bible. It's like the word millennial, but it's a Bible word, amen. You made in a Trinity. There's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, there's not three gods, there's three in one. You'll say, explain it. You don't have to faith it out, amen. I like that. I'll tell you, I like to faith anything out. It makes you stronger, amen. But you are in three. Your eye has three parts. Your hand, your elbow, your shoulder, your ear has three parts. Not only is there a Trinity with God, but there's a Trinity with the devil, amen. I'll say it's made up in threes. And so you find that God is mentioned in those verses. You'll find that the rock is mentioned in those verses. And you'll find the Spirit is mentioned in those verses. God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And look in verse 3. Again, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. To be the head of the home, there must be a godly example, amen, ruling in the house. I'll tell you, I despise these little hen-pecked husbands. I'll tell you, I'm so ashamed of them. We got out of men here in America. I know some men, they say hen-pecked until their foot's kind of shaped like that when they roosted on the end of the bed, amen. I'm ashamed of that crowd. That's right. I know some hen-pecked men. They say hen-pecked mascot until every morning their wife serves them corn for cereal, amen. Don't look down. I'll think you're guilty, amen. I'll tell you, we need some men in this world.
Amen.
Yes, a man come down the aisle the other night and said, I tell you what, Brother Wright, I'm not henpecked. I said, no, you may not be, but you got henhouse ways, amen. I'll tell you, need some men in this world. You've got to be a godly man to rule over your house. I'm tired of these women running around saying, well, he's the head, but I'm the neck that turns it. You know, the problem in this world is Adam's rib, the devil's fib, and the woman's lib, amen. Chew on that apple a while, bless God. I'll tell you, we're looking for some men here in this world that'll take a stand. I'm ashamed of these men that'll turn around and ask their wives, saying, we're going to church today, we're going to Sunday school today. And then she'll turn around and say, I don't know, but we'll ask little Johnny, does he want to go? I'll tell you, I'm ashamed of that. Amen. I'm looking for the men to lead in their home and say, honey, I want to have to get ready. We're going to serve God today. And I'm going to have to get the children ready and get in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's the family that's blessed. I'm tired of these little chicken hen-pecked husbands running around and said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm having it hard. I ain't got no job. I'm working half-time. I don't know what I'm going to do. They won't give God a chance to bless them. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
I'm sure it's this way in Ohio. We got some down in Mississippi. They won't come on a Wednesday night. They won't come every night. They got to sit down and watch some old YouTube. And it's a wonder they don't wake up the next morning with 25-inch eyeballs. Amen. They'll be the funniest looking folk you ever seen. I'm talking about men that'll take a stand.
Amen.
A man become a man and put God first in everything. God will bless him. Amen. And if he don't, he'll blister him.
Amen.
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 You ever see these as just having such a hard time? I'll tell you, just that I don't know how I'm going to make it. Check on that fellow. He hasn't put God first out there.
Right.
I'm not saying God won't test you out. God will test you out. God already knows. He'll let you see yourself every once in a while.
Yeah.
But if you'll stay humble, God will set you on high.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. I believe with all of my heart. I've been poor. I wore patches on top of patches. I know what it is to be poor. I'll tell you, I went to school, and I told you last night I wore summer clothes, some of mine, some of somebody else's, and that's about the only kind I've ever had. And I went to school one morning, and I had patches on, and back in that day, if you looked sissy, they called you sissy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I see some now. If my daddy seen them, he'd stick a bulldog on them, amen. That's right. Now, why you want to look so sissy and look like a woman when you're supposed to be a man? Amen.
Amen.
I went to school that morning, and back then they called you little sisters, little girls, and you did, boy, we'd fight them. Amen. Yes, sir. And now you can say, hello, Lucy. Talking to the boy, he'll smile. Yes, sir. Right. Fifth hour. We were down here in Hamilton today, wasn't it? Boy, come in, and they said, how are you? He said, hello. I'll tell you, I was about half shaking, man. That's right.
Amen.
I can get along with an old drunk better than I can get along with that little sissy crowd.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey. Can't stand it, amen. That's right. I went to school there, and they said, now look at old Leroy there. Said, he got on a pink patch. Said, look at him. I said, that's not a pink patch, that's me, amen. I said, I know I am. I'm a lot, but I'm glad that I got God tonight, amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you, God's looking for a man. Now, if you don't believe it, search the Bible. You will find in there, God said, I'm looking for a man, amen.
Amen.
To fill in the hedge.
Amen.
You'll never mistake me for a woman, amen. That's right, bless God. You know, a woman has got three hairstyles in the Bible. A covering, and shaven, shorn. And if they got three hairstyles, a man's got three. Amen. Parted. Unparted. and departed.
Now, say, neighbor, you ought to never look at me and say, well, I don't know who that is.
I went to a wedding not long ago, and I didn't know which is which. I didn't have no part in it, and I don't have no part in it. Every time I perform a wedding, I said, you better tell me who the best man is. You better straighten it out and tell me who's all going to be in it, because I might not be in it. Well, I went and sat down with this one, and you couldn't tell one from another, and I punched her, and I said, you know, if I was performing in that one, I said, whoever this is, take whoever that is. I believe in men.
Amen.
I believe in a rugged face looking fella.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Brother Lloyd sure hates for us to get in war. I would. I'd hate to get in war. I remember in World War II. And I remember in the Korean War, the Vietnam War. I'll tell you, I had some men. I'm grateful for it. And I'll tell you, my beloved, the more I think about this, the more I get stirred up. Now, if the home is carried on in the fear of God and ruled by the Lord, it'll be just like he said. God will have his blessings upon it.
Amen.
Look what kind of home this was in verse 4. And he, that's God, shall be as the light of the morning. When the sun rises, even the morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, clear shining after rain. Now, my beloved, if you are the head of the home, and you rule the home in godly fear, the Bible said that there will be morning as light, and it will be a morning without clouds. And after it is raining, the grass will shine out there, amen. And David said, my home's not like that. No. David said, I wake up in the morning, there's clouds everywhere. I see no shining of the grass. A fragment here and a fragment there. They're no more together than it's like we used to have.
Amen.
Do you remember when all the family was at home at night and sat around together? Now we sat around in the dark. Everybody looked just alike. We didn't have electric lights. We didn't have all of this mess we have today. And every room was a bedroom. There'd be my bed in the living room. Amen. We all sat around there. And we talked in fellowship with one another. Papa picked at us boys. Mama talked with us, loved us, had prayer with us before we went to bed. And I'll tell you, we went to bed about 7 o'clock at night. Yes, sir. But you know what time you got up? You better get in there at 7. We got up at 4. Hadn't even got homes now. There ain't no such a thing as an old-fashioned home now. People set up the 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't get them in bed, and then, bless God, you can't get them up as they get in bed. I'll tell you, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. Now, you keep me up after 10:30, I call that the unpardonable sin. And most of us, most homes are just overnight parking places. That's all they are. The Sunday school teacher asked a little boy, said, boys and girls, said, I want you to tell me next Sunday what a home is. Said, that's your project for the week. I want you to tell, give a good answer what a home is. Little red-headed cracker boy, a faint boy raised his hand. He said, no, that's waiting next Sunday. I'm telling you now. And the teacher said, well, tell it. He said, a home is where you sleep 8 hours a night and get 3 meals a day and feed and fuss the rest of the time. That's about what you got across this land today.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir. Wife fussing at the husband. Husband fussing. They just fight all day long. I'll tell you, it's the biggest mess you've ever seen. And you know it. Amen. You might not have said amen tonight. You may be sitting there saying, oh, me. But you know I'm telling the truth. Amen.
Amen.
I'm reading this afternoon. Divorce is bulldozing a home to ruins in this day. In 1912, the census revealed that 1 out of every 12 marriage ended in divorce. Now, that is in 1912. 1932, 1 in every 6 marriages failed. 1979, 2 divorces for every 3 marriages failed. And 1982, they hadn't even gotten together yet. Now, I'll tell you, my dear friend, broken homes, and it's pitiful. Not only broken homes, but there's rootless homes also. By this I mean the family's not rooted. Since World War II, America has been on the move. Now listen to this. 2% of the population change their place of residence annually. And
the working places demand people to move. They want people on the go. I was in Florida the other day, said go to the mountains. I was in the mountains not long ago and said go to Florida. The devil just wants people just going back and forth on the move all the time. He has a reason for it. A third of all the families with husbands under 35 move yearly from here to yonder. And homes will not take root moving like that. It won't do it. When the family moves, there's new housing. When the family moves, there's new schools. When the family moves, there's new friends. I saw this sign recently in a flower nursery not long ago. It said, we move our shrubbery every year so they won't grow deep roots. Amen. I wrote that down. I said, that's just like the devil. He wants the family to move so they won't get deep rooted in anything. Amen. Just a moving. Just a moving. Don't forget, trees without deep roots won't stand the storm. Amen. And families without the deep roots will not stand the storm either. So, my beloved, the devil is a smart thing. Not only broken home, not only rootless homes, but there's lonely homes. Homes are lonely now. They're just lonely. They try to revive it with this and that and the other. You ever pass home where nobody lives there? That's the deadest thing. A home is people. You can pass a home and you can detect immediately where anybody lives there or not. I'll tell you, it's just dead looking, but you let somebody move in there, it'll come alive, amen. You move away from the old home place where there was pecan trees bearing good every year, you let the family move away and there won't be no pecans on those trees like it used to. Even the pecan trees know the people moved out, amen. Yes, sir, lonely homes in this day. Daddy on one shift, the mother on another shift, and the children on all shifts. Yep. That's bitter.
Amen.
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 The little girl and her mother and the grandmother lived together, and the little girl, she's about 15, she'd been somewhere out, show somewhere, coming at 9:30, and about that time, the mother coming at 11:30, and the little girl said, Mama, don't lock the door, Grandma hadn't got here yet. I'll tell you, my dear friend, we're living in the worst days that's ever been, amen. Broken homes and rootless homes and lonely homes and sinful homes. I read a Chinese proverb the other day. It said, in a broken nest, there are few whole eggs, amen. I like that one. I'll tell you, sinful parents, sinful children, and most of the crimes committed in this day as teenagers, they come from shattered homes. I've been in the juvenile courts and sit there and listen to them. And I'll tell you, they've done some of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. They come from a broken home, a shattered home. Two boys stood, you listening? You used to sleep, wake up, want you to get this one. Yonder, two boys was in New Orleans standing before the courts, and the judge said, boys, how come you, they were some up there around here in Ohio. And he said, boys, how come you down here in New Orleans? They said, we just drifted down to Mississippi. Amen. I got a lot out of that. There's a lot of teenagers across this country just drifting down the Mississippi. Amen. Amen. Parents care less than most I've ever seen in my life. I'll tell you, we couldn't take a bath. We took a bath in a number two wash tub. Amen. Out in the yard, and Mama's sitting on the porch watching us. Yes, sir, she's the best lifeguard you ever seen. If we'd had a bathtub, she'd sit in the soap dish while we took a bath. She was so afraid we might get hurt, you know, but not mothers today.
That's right.
Just fling, flang, run around. My daughter said the other day, she said, Daddy, was I hard to raise? I said, hard to raise? She said, was I expensive? I said, you better believe it. You cost $40 when you was born. I said, honey, if I knew you was going to be that expensive, I'd have drowned you in the bathtub. And she said, Daddy, when I come up with you, you can have a bathtub, amen. I'll tell you, my beloved, parents care less today. I went down to a parade one time. The wife and I went downtown. We was in school, and we went downtown on Saturday evening to see the parade. The Cadillacs came, and the folks came by, and the ugly girls about half naked came by. I told the wife, I said, that's just a bunch of old junk, no good. And the best thing about it, right at the last, come, you listen to me, the last thing that come along was an old man sitting up in a wagon, and a single mule and wagon, just riding along there behind the parade. And I told the wife, I said, that's prettier than all those girls on the float. That's prettier than everything. And there was a cow following along that wagon without a rope or without anything. And I told my wife, I said, let's follow that wagon. She said, for what? I said, because those cows we've had, I've almost pulled her neck off trying to get them to lead. And I said, there's one just following along without a rope or anything, following along with that wagon. We went on around and followed it, and the pilot's parade stopped. And I walked up there and looked over in that wagon. And you know what was in there? A little fresh-born baby calf laying on a bale of hay. And that mama cow was following along there to see what they was going to do with that little old calf.
Yeah,
well, amen?
Yeah.
Got more sense than some parents has got.
Amen.
That's right. Amen? Now, we country we southern people, very few of us finished the eighth grade. Some of us didn't even go at all. And sometimes we butcher every word that comes along. I heard a preacher not long ago, and he's preaching on obstacles. That's right. That's the name of his subject. Obstacles. But when they start attacking, you think to hear something. Now, you old Kentucky folks, you know what I'm talking about. You think to get tuned in, amen, if I was standing like that. He said, I'm going to explain obstacles to you this morning. I said, he run out and ask a fella, said, where's your car at, sir? He said, out yonder in the yard. He run over here and asked this fella, said, where's your horse at? He said, it's in the barn in the stable. He run over there and asked some others, said, have you got the keys in your pocket or your car? Where is it? Sit outside. And then he run over to a young lady sitting over there, and he said to her, said, where's your daughter tonight? And I'll tell you, she threw up her hands and said, I would to God that I knew. I'll say to that little country preacher, come back to the pulpit. He said, there's the obstacles I'm talking about. He said, that man knows where his car is. That man knows where his horse is. But there's a lady there. There's a woman. Their daughter's the most important thing that she has. She don't know where in the world she's at.
Amen. Amen.
Pitiful. There are many parents in Ohio tonight in this era. They don't know where the children's at. They didn't see them.
Right.
They left. They asked me where they acted down yonder on the highway and passed the noodle along that water with their fingers sticking up in the air with a big old patch there, wanting somebody to pick them up. God, I wish they had the 6th Army, 6th Infantry like I was. Amen. You let them carry that a while, they'll be a different person.
Right.
Yes, sir. Amen. Last time I see one down there, I said, God, I know it don't snow down here, but you're able to send one. I like what I'm saying, a big snow down there and a big old rain, and let them think back when they had a good shelter and all, amen.
Amen.
So I got a little things going. I got a lot of things going. Don't mean a lot to a lot of folk. But I pull up to them, and I said, you're going home, headed back home or going away from home? And if they say going away from home, I pull off, amen. But if they say they're going back home, I said, get in. Amen will help you. I've done it too many times. And I'll tell you, I've met several that said, if I ever get back home, it'll be different, amen. Well, I'm going to help that boy and girl get back home. But if they say that they're headed away from home, I'm going to let them go out and learn a lesson. Amen. God permitted the prodigal son to go out and learn one. Yes, sir. And God will permit you to learn one, too.
Amen.
Yes, sir. God's in the teaching business.
Right. Okay.
Amen. I'll say you ought to appreciate a good home, a good bed. Amen. A good bed.
Amen.
Well, the wife peeped out there last night, and it was snowing. I'll tell you, I got under the cover. I covered up my head. I said, thank God for a good bed.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not thinking to get out there on my own. I got better sense than that. Yes, sir. I'll tell you, now I'm going to close by saying, you want to have a successful home? Now, I told you about broken homes, sinful homes, and homes that the devil had just taken over. You want me to show you how to have a successful home? Build it on the Word of God, the Bible.
Amen.
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 Build it on the Bible. Build it just like the Bible said. You'll be glad that you did. And have it church-related. Amen. Have your home church-related.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God for wives. Praise the Lord for them. Amen.
Amen.
They more wives go to church than husbands do. That's why I think so much of this church this year. The men. Amen.
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 Now, if you've got a husband and he's at the house and he's not taking lead, you tell him, old brother Wright said, come out of that old back backslidden way and that old hidden pack way and take a stand for God. Amen.
Amen.
You said, making man, I'm not going to scared hate. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Take a stand for God. You'll be glad that you did.
Amen.
Did you hear me say the other night there's just four places to go when you become a Christian?
Yeah.
Home. Work. Grocery store and church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you've been to the grocery store, you're not able to go anywhere else. But listen, men, you hear me. Everything that you ever desired, you got it at home.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what you desired was a wife.
Amen.
And a home.
Amen.
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 I'm just as happy as I can be. Amen. I'm so glad my wife's getting to travel. I'm just tickled to death.
Amen.
You'll say, what's so good about that? I like for her to hear what all these preachers say about me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just tickled to death, folks. I'll tell you, my beloved, there's no way for me to overemphasize the Word of God to build a successful home.
Amen.
Families, you seen that sign on cars? Families that pray together, stay together. I believe that. I believe it with all of my heart. If your church, if you have church in the home, you'll have your home in the church.
Yeah.
It just works that way. What's happening to the home? The devil's intervened. Devil's intervened. Now, what if Jesus Christ came to Miltonville on an airplane or a subway or a ground bus? Or what if he came to this town? Whose house would he go to? Whose house would he go to? Now, when he's down at Bethany, the Bible said he went down to Mary and Martha. Lazarus. You know why he went down there? He's welcome. That's why he went down there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've been in a lot of homes. Some homes I was welcomed in. Some I wasn't. I've been in some homes that I would to God a little hole would open up in the floor. In fact, I prayed that. I said, Lord, if you'll just spread that crack there, I'll slip through it and crawl into my car and leave. Now, I know some of you have never been that way. I've been in some nice homes. I've been in some rough homes. I was in a home not long ago, the wife and I, and I asked the lady, I said, would you like for me to have a word of prayer? She said, well, if you want to, said, I'm glad you came by. I said, nobody ever comes around here much, and I'm glad that you come. And I said, well, I want to have prayer with you. And she had three little children there, and I knelt to pray. And I got down and started praying. And a little boy got up on me and said, what's he doing, Mama? What's he doing? Another jumped on my back and said, get him up, Margie. Get him up, Margie. I said, remember, I want you to know I thank God for our Christian home.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I wonder if Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, came, whose home would he go to? What if he come to one of your houses? Would you invite him in? I'm going to use this as he visits one of the members of this church that hadn't been coming regularly. You know, just off and on. Like one of these old hair blowers. You've seen them. They blow hot one minute, blow cold the next. Make me remind me of some old church members. And say he come to a door and he knock. You know he does say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I'm telling, not taking that out of context, I'm just showing you something. And he stood and he knocked. And a lady comes to the door and said, who is this? And said, I'm Jesus. And he said, may I come in? And she said, yes. And he comes in and he begins to look around. Now, I know you all don't notice people's things in their houses. I know you don't. When you go out, you just sit there. But I look around. Amen. I've been looking around in this preacher's house, and I'm just tickled to death. Now, if he and Linda doesn't have a fight tomorrow or Saturday morning, it's one of the sweetest homes I've ever been in. And I know y'all don't look around, and I know you don't notice anything. I look at you and tell that. But I've always had nose trouble.
I've always had.
When I was going with the wife, and she and I was dating, we sat around the drugstore a lot. And we sat around those little restaurants, and she used to get hungry, and she'd say, Leroy, don't those hamburgers smell good? And I said, yeah, let's go in there and smell them for a while. But we was in a drugstore there one evening, and sitting there drinking a Coke, and the jeweler, his name was, forgot his name now, but I knew him well, and he came in there, and he had the biggest nose any fella I ever seen. And I mean, it's big, and I told the wife, I said, I'm going to ask him how come such a big nose. And she said, oh, please don't, Leroy. I said, well, I can't help it. I said, I just got to. I said, I'm about to die. And I went over and I asked him, I said, sir, how come you such a big nose? And he looked at me and he said, I checked it out of everybody else's business and let it grow, amen. And so when I go in homes, I look around. Yes, sir, you invite me in your home, I look around. I sure do. I'll see if there's anything in there that reminds me of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came in the living room in this woman's house, he began to look around. And he walks over here, and he picks up an object that's about this long, about this square, and he said, what is this? And she said, that's a pack of Lucky Strikes. Yeah. And he said, you all smoke? And she said, oh, yeah, we do, Lord. He said, hadn't you read in my book where your body's a living temple of the Holy Spirit? And he walks on this side of the room, and he pulls out a drawer, and pulls out a silk piece of cloth, and he said, what is this? And she said, that's my miniskirt. And he said, hadn't you read in my book that you dressed in modest apparel? And he goes back over on this side, and he picks up another object, and he said, what is this? And she said, that's a deck of cards.
Yeah.
And he said, you all gamble? And I said, yeah, we do, Lord. And he said, have you not read in my book where I stay from all appearances of evil?
Amen.
And he goes on in the kitchen. Now, I'm talking about looking around now. The Bible said, what have they seen in that house?
Amen.
And he walks in the kitchen, and he opens the refrigerator, and he pulls out a box there, and he said, what is this? And she said, it's a six-pack. And he said, you all drink? Have you not read in my book where it said, touch not the wine and turns red? Mm-hmm. And he said, if I abide here, all this has got to go.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. If I abide here, this has got to go.
Amen.
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 Brother Roy, in most homes that I know, they need to have that old Mississippi and Kentucky way, and when we cleaned out the tater house. You remember that? Cleaned it out. Amen. The ratty things had to go. You listening to me? And Jesus comes back in the living room, and he looks over here on the table, and he saw a picture of a fine young man. And he said, lady, who is that boy? And she said, Lord, that's my son. How old is he? He's 16. Well, he's the finest looking fellow. He's a fine looking boy. Said, where is he? He said, Lord, about 3 weeks ago, he walked out and slammed the door. I hadn't heard from him, hadn't seen him since. And the Lord walked over and said, picked up the cigarette, said, did he smoke? She said, yeah, he did, Lord, just a chain smoker, about to smoke himself to death. And the Lord said, the example is in the home.
Amen.
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 Walked over, pulled out the miniskirt, silk cloth, and said, did he dance? She said, dance. Stayed in high dives and hell holes every night.
Huh?
All night long. And the Lord said, do you wonder why? The example's in the home. He went over and picked up a deck of cards and picked them up and said, did he gamble? She said, gamble. He said, gamble whatever dime he had. Gambled all night. He said, do you wonder why? The example is in the home. He went in the kitchen, opened up the refrigerator and pulled out the six-pack and said, did he drink? She said, he's a drunkard. Stayed in the ditch all night.
He said the example in the home. My dear friends, tonight, you'll say, I would to God, Brother Wright, that wasn't so, but it is so. It's all across the country. The example is in the home. You find couples that have these little boys and little girls. They either going to grow up with a gun in their hand or a deck of cards in their hand or a Bible in their hand.
Right.
One or the other. It's up to you. So, beings, it's up to you. You must be the example. You must have your home built upon the Bible. You must have your home church-related. You must have Jesus Christ the center of attraction. I was raised in the old-fashioned home. The furniture wasn't modern. We didn't have any deep freeze, didn't have any refrigerator, didn't have any carpet on the floor. But Jesus was recognized there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll never forget an old-fashioned home. I thank God for it. This elderly lady called her pastor and said, Pastor, my husband has passed away, as you know, and I've done the best I can, and I have three boys, as you know. I've tried to raise them right. And said, if you'll come Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I would like for you to rededicate our home back to the Lord. He said, I'll be there. She notified her sons. They came. The preacher stood and said, we are the only ones here. Your mother, you yourself, and me. And said, now, boys, your mama said that being in the old home place, I can have the services just like I wanted to. And he said, here's what I've been led to do. I want you to testify. The oldest boy stood and said, preacher, you see the picture of my old daddy yonder? Said he's a Christian man. I remember his life. And thank God for a Christian daddy. Thank God for a Christian mother. Thank God for everything. He sat down. The second boy got up and said, preacher, there's a picture of my old daddy. I loved him. He left me a good example. Good Christian man. Thank God for it. Thank God for my mother. And sit down. And the youngest boy, he wouldn't get up. He just sat there. And the preacher said, son, nobody here but us. Get up and say something. And he got up and said, preacher, I'm a wayward boy. I'm the one that went astray. I'm the prodigal. And said, I thank God for my daddy. And I thank God for my two brothers. They're good Christian men. I'm the one that went astray. And said, preacher, I heard you say that you'd come to rededicate this home back to God. But you can't do it. Because my old precious mama sitting right there, she hadn't let it slip an inch. She's carried it on just like daddy would have her to carry it on. Instead, because of my daddy's influence, because of my mother's influence, because of my two Christian brothers' influence, I want you to know I'm not a prodigal anymore. I repent of my sins, and I trust Jesus Christ, and I'm going to walk in his statutes from now on just because of a Christian home.
Amen.
Is Jesus the center of attraction? Perhaps tonight there's some man, some woman, boy, girl here, and you've never confessed your sins to Jesus Christ. You've been told about God, and you thought about God, but as you reminisce about back of the old family place, why not tonight? Why not trust the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary? Why not start tonight? Why not begin tonight? And have a Christian home.
Amen.
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 Now, maybe there's a man, woman, boy, girl. Maybe there is a husband and wife. Maybe there's a complete family here tonight. I'd say, Brother Wright, my home is Christian. And we believe in the Bible, but our church relation is not just right. But we want to join in a Bible-believing church. And while the invitation's given tonight, why don't you say in your heart, I'm going to come. The wife's going to come. The children's going to come. We want to unite with this church. We want to move in tonight and begin to work in this vineyard. Get your home church related, amen.
Amen.
And if your home is not just what it ought to be, get it to what it ought to be tonight. God wants to establish it for you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And let the morning be without clouds. And let the grass shine out there after the rain. Amen. Now, God wants it that way. And David said, mine's not just like that.